from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
I have gotten lots of text messages and gifts from guys I've never even played with before and teams that I have no idea who's on the team. And it's been very special to have baseball back me as much as they have. I've never thrown out a first pitch. I've caught plenty of them, but I've never gotten to throw one out. So it was an exciting moment. The thing that caught me off guard was the whole team coming out to the mound. I thought that was an incredibly special moment. That really caught me off guard, and that was probably the most special moment of the night for me.
That from June of 2018, as Danny Farquhar threw out the first pitch at Guaranteed Rate Field. And that in itself was an amazing story and a wonderful moment, because what happened last year on April 20th, 2018, was so distressing for baseball fans and so scary, obviously, for Danny and his family. And we are pleased to bring Danny Farquhar on 670 The Score right now, and he joins us on Hit and Run on the Al Piemonte Ford Hotline. Al Piemonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Danny, thanks for the time. Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Matt.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to hear just in that clip, and I'm sure that it is kind of continued what can happen sometimes when you have a scare like you did, which is this sort of this moment where people reach out to you that you never expected to reach out to you, and you realize, oh, wow, I guess I do have some people who I have made an impact on. I guess I do have some support out here in the world, and it kind of changes your entire perspective on stuff, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does big time when, you know, you have people reaching out to you on social media that have experienced the same thing and are talking about how I went through it and how I can help. And it just doesn't even have to be brain aneurysm survivors. Just people that get hurt in general are reaching out to me and asking for little tips on how I coped with it and how I can help with their situation.
You know, so Danny had a ruptured aneurysm that caused some bleeding in the brain on that April 2018, and the recovery was astounding. And I wonder how long it was until you thought about, all right, I'm gonna try to pitch. Like when was that? When in the process did you say to yourself, not only am I gonna live, not only am I gonna function, not only am I gonna do all that, I'm gonna try to pitch too?
So, I mean, it was as soon as I came to realization that I was in the hospital. I was like 3 or 4 days out of surgery, and I woke up and or not that I woke up, but I became aware of what was going on. And I told my wife, like, hey, does my team, like, know I'm here? Like, I'm going to be late for practice. And, you know, from that moment on, you know, I've always wanted to be a baseball player. And I never had a doubt in my mind that my playing career wouldn't continue. Even though it did come to an end much shorter than I anticipated, you know, I never not for a second doubted that I wouldn't be back on the mound.
Well, and you got there, and you got there, and I know you didn't get back to the majors, but the fact that you got back to the minors and you got and in the Yankees farm system and you had a chance to be out there on the mound, is there, I mean, I'm hopeful for you that there's a sense of closure in that way, that at least you got there and you realized, all right, I know where I stand, and I know that physically I was able to get back here on the mound, even if it wasn't reaching the final step.
Yes. No, I absolutely have closure. I mean, I can't even tell you the amount of hours I put into work. Probably the hardest in my career, just because of how far back I was, you know, after the surgery, 18 days in the ICU, it really knocks you back. So I had to put in all the extra work just to get back to full strength. And then, you know, it was just working, working, working. And then, like, I busted in. I felt like I was full go. And then I finally got to AAA, and I got there, and I was like, holy cow, I am severely overmatched and not ready. And, you know, obviously the Yankees saw it as well, and they released me. And, you know, I think at that point I was just ready to go on to the next stage in my career, because I guess it just shows how elite of a pitcher you have to be to compete. It's not like, you know, you can't just go out there and throw anything and get out. So I definitely wasn't good enough.
So what was the realization in terms of overmatched? Was it like, oh, these hitters are hitting me, or was it the other pitchers that you were looking at next to you?
No, it was just the pitchers. It was the first day I got to AAA, and these guys are in mid-season form, and I'm watching them play catch, and I was like, holy cow, these guys are really, really good. And you know, I had been watching myself play catch, and I had been in extended for a while. And, you know, first day I got there, I was like, wow, I am nowhere near as good as these guys. And that was when I truly realized how far back I was.
So you realize that, and you realize, okay, I think I need to move on. And look, you played for four different teams, 7 years, four different teams. I bet you have a good relationship with the Rays. You know, you have other good relationships. Why the White Sox, and how did this come together, Danny, that you ended up getting hired by them as a minor league pitching instructor?
So I did reach out. I did reach out to the organizations that I had been with in the past. And, you know, I had a couple teams offer me jobs and job interviews. And the White Sox relationship was definitely special because of how well they took care of me, how well they took care of my family during the process. And I love the whole organization from top to bottom. And so it was an easier decision for me to go ahead and choose them. And I'm happy for it. And I can't wait to get going. I mean, I'm already here in Birmingham. I've been here for, I think, 4 or 5 days now, and it's just been incredible.
All right, so you're down in Birmingham working with Omar Vizquel and Rich Dotson, right? What's the job? Give me a description of like a daily life in that job so far, Danny.
So right now I'm basically shadowing Richard Dotson, and he's the pitching coach here. And I mean, I'm talking to players with Richard, talking to players without him, just having guys ask me questions. I'm definitely here to like learn more about like the ins and outs of the coaching side. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just here to help out, just to give a different perspective. I mean, you pull up two of the best pitching coaches in MLB, and they're going to have different outlooks on anything. And that's how I was as a player. Like I like talking to different players. I like talking to different coaches and take the information that was applicable to how I pitched and things that I could use. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm here for, to provide these guys with an extra source of knowledge. You know, I've been around the game for a while, so I feel like I know a little bit about baseball, and I've done so many things. I've thrown from different arm angles. I've thrown different pitches. I've had successes. I've had failures, big leagues, minor leagues. You know, I've been through a lot, you know, trades, designated for assignments. I've been released a couple of times now, and I've just done it all. So I think I'm a pretty good package as to helping guys with pitch management, pitch sequencing, you know, mental skills. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's a lot there. All right, so you've got the experience all over the board in so many different facets of the game, like you talked about, but you also mentioned pitch sequencing and stuff like that. And there is, you know, you learned a lot in your time. And we heard stories about your time here when you were with the White Sox, that you were bringing some stuff that you had learned down in Tampa. So I think you've always been inquisitive, right? And I think and some of that stuff, you've got an opportunity here with the White Sox to bring some of that experience and some of that thought process here to a rebuilding organization that is sort of still in process of putting their pitching infrastructure together. I think that's fair to say, don't you?
Yes, yes. And, you know, that's I spoke a lot with Chris Getz, and mm-hmm. That's what he said. He said, you know, we want you to come here and learn and teach us too. So I'm excited.
All right, so tell me about, is this apocryphal or is it true that you were the guy who first got in Lucas Giolito's head and said, you know what, your four-seam fastball has a lot of carry on it. We were looking at this down in Tampa. You know how good your four-seam fastball is, and you should pair it with that changeup. Put those two together. How early was your voice in that process? Because that's been a big part of Giolito's transformation.
So it was when we first played catch together in AAA. I think it was, I can't even remember where we were. I think we might have been in Durham, and it was our first time playing catch, and I was like, dude, man, like, your four-seam fastball has got some life, got some carry. You know, you ever use it in the top of the zone? He's like, no, not intentionally. And I was like, you need to start, man. And he was throwing me his two-seamer. And also, like, I would look at the numbers because we had I think we had to wait till he was in the major leagues to look at the numbers. And, you know, and sure enough, like, he started elevating that fastball at the end of 2017 and seeing results. And, you know, I was like, hey, man, like, that's awesome. And he would throw his two-seamer every once in a while, and when it wasn't located, he'd get beat with it. I was like, you need to stop throwing that two-seamer. And sure enough, he had a killer, you know, end of August into September. And then we showed up to the season in 2018, and he was throwing his two-seamer. And I kept trying to tell him to stop throwing it. And, you know, and then it wasn't just that, but there was a lot of other factors. They shortened his arm swing, and I think there was a couple other things that he adjusted to. So it wasn't just me telling him to scrap his two-seamer. But yeah, so it was in AAA when I first got in his head.
So it's you. You're the one, Danny Farquhar, to credit. No, you're right. There's a lot of different things. He went back and worked with his old high school coach, and I know he moved his position on the rubber a little sideways. He also said that he's worked on the mental side. It takes all of that. You know, it takes all of those factors. But the fact that you noticed it right there as you're playing catch, hey, this has some life on it. And then you can look it up. And we've all learned a lot through Giolito's transformation because carry, the absence of drop, right? It's like it looks like it's rising. Fastballs don't rise, but they look like they're rising when they have good carry. And, man, you can work at the top of the zone. That's what's happening all around baseball. So stay on that path, man. Whatever you did there, stay on that path with some of those AA guys, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think there is an opportunity here for you. What's the dream? Big league pitching coach?
Oh, well, clearly, I mean, everybody wants to be in the big league. But you know, you don't go from playing to coaching in the big leagues. That's not how it works. You know, you got to get down in the minor leagues. You got to put in your time. You got to put in your energy. You have to learn. And I mean, eventually I would love to be a big league pitching coach. That's the end goal.
Your kids are how old now? I know at the time of the aneurysm, I think you had one that was 6 months and one that was a couple or two that were older than that. How old are they now?
So my daughter's going to be 8 here at the end of this month. My son's going to be 4 in September. And then my other son will be 2 in November.
Wow, tremendous. Well, I'm glad their dad is around, Danny. So congrats on the health and congrats on a career. Seven years and 4 different teams with an ERA under 4. That ain't bad. That ain't bad.
No, I'm proud of it. I'm sad it ended so quickly, but I'm proud of my career.
Good for you. And good luck down the road here. Nice talking to you, Danny. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your time.
You got it. That's Danny Farquhar, the minor league pitching instructor for the Chicago White Sox, and a very, very smart dude. He's the guy. He's the guy who saw Giolito's four-seamer, said, hey, man, you should be throwing that more. Then he came back, and you love that. Giolito comes back the next year, and he's throwing the two-seamer again, and Danny's like, what are you doing? Stop. Love it.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.